Just a very, very brief background about the book of Daniel. It's a fascinating book, as we know, as Daniel and other Jews are in exile in Babylon. But it shows us that although that there will be beasts that rise and contend against God and His kingdom, God will not be defeated, and His kingdom will never end. So that's kind of a big picture of the book of Daniel. There is a spiritual battle, but God will not be defeated, and His kingdom will never end. Of course, the book of Daniel also shows us how to live as sort of exiles on the earth, and how to navigate through spiritual battle. It's a very, very rich book. We won't be hitting all of it, of course, but hopefully we'll glean much from chapter 10 this morning. So please follow along with me, the reading of God's word, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us from this passage. This is from Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and I heard the sound. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let's now pray to the Lord together and ask him to bring this word home to our hearts and minds, that he would speak powerfully through it and give us what we need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for its fullness, its sufficiency, its richness. And we ask, Lord, that you would take it, Lord, take your word and provide for us now, provide for what we need. We remember indeed that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so we pray that you would give us hearts that are earnest for your word, that it would be like honey to us, and that it would nourish us and strengthen us as we run this race. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, in the book of Daniel, there are beasts that rise against God and his kingdom. Another way to describe these beasts that rise against God and his kingdom is spiritual warfare or spiritual battle. The book of Daniel clearly reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle, and we see that in our passage today. And as I've said, we see specifically in this text, in chapter 10, that he gives us what we need in spiritual battle. He gives us what we need in spiritual battle. That's the main idea from this passage. Notice I said he gives us what we need in spiritual battle, not what we need for spiritual battle. To say that he gives us what we need for spiritual battle might imply that spiritual battle is only a possibility or only occasional for the believer. But that is not what the Bible teaches at all. God's word tells us that we are constantly in spiritual battle, whether we realize it or not. But the sooner we realize this, that we're in spiritual battle, the better off we will be. Do you recognize that you are in spiritual battle? Do you recognize that? At times, for us, in our preparation for coming here and adjusting here, the spiritual battle has certainly been very clear to us. When we've sought in this to step out and to do something that we felt would glorify the Lord, and when we do that, as it has been in our context or you in your context, whatever that might be, to step out and do something in faith for the Lord and his kingdom, we can expect spiritual battle. If we're apathetic toward the Lord and his kingdom, what need does the enemy have, right? He'll use his energy somewhere else. And it could be that apathy, or at times, seasons of apathy, could describe some of us today. So if it does, you should not necessarily be surprised if the spiritual battle doesn't seem necessarily that real to you. Again, why should Satan use his resources if he doesn't need to? But again, the ideal for us as believers is that we are seeking to live for God's glory and live for his kingdom. And so if that is the case, we should expect spiritual battle. We see it right at the beginning in Genesis 3, as we know the serpent, Satan, tempts Eve. We see it at the end in Revelation as the forces of evil wage war against the rule and reign of God. We know the end of the story, that Satan is defeated. Praise God. Amen. But in between, there's spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. We might like it to be a choice for us, but it's not. It is a reality. The book of Daniel shows us that this spiritual battle wages on a global scale involving kings and kingdoms. God rules over these kings and kingdoms, but they are given some freedom to resist him and make war against him and his people. But this spiritual battle also is present in a personal way. It involves specific individuals. Here, Daniel, we see. The Lord is present and working and waging war on a global scale, but it is also happening on a personal level. Daniel 10 is sort of zoomed in on Daniel to give us a glimpse of what that spiritual battle looks like on a personal level. We see what it means and how God is present and that he is enough on a personal level. And I'm really thankful for how the Lord, in his wisdom and providence, chose to order and record history in this personal sort of way, because you are an individual. You are a person. We relate to God, yes, in a universal sense, as the global body of Christ and as a local body of Christ, but he is our God, we say, but he is also my God. He is your God. If you're in Christ, he is your God. You relate to him individually, personally. He cares for you in that sort of way. Each of us here today have specific and different spiritual battles that we are facing. For some of us, it could be an issue or a sin struggle from our past that continues to gnaw at us. We might know in our head that we've been forgiven and made new, but sometimes we struggle to know it in our heart. Some of us might have great conflict or turmoil in relationships with family or friends. The enemy loves to divide and to destroy relationships. Some of us could be battling discouragement or temptation, or as I mentioned, apathy. And these things are fueled by the enemy and his lies. We are each in a spiritual battle if we are Christians in various ways. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The good news that we see in our passage today is that the Lord gives us what we need in spiritual battle, as I've said. And we see this in four ways from this text. Four ways. First, he gives us an overwhelming sense of his holiness. An overwhelming sense of his holiness. In verse 1, we read that a word was revealed to Daniel, which was true, which was a great conflict. He understood the word and had the understanding of the vision. The word in this vision has to do with what is revealed in chapters 11 and 12 concerning great conflict. Most understand that great conflict to be explained in 11 and 12 is the same one in chapter 8, where four kingdoms culminate in the rule of the Greek Seleucid king Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes was ruthless. In 167 BC, he massacred 80,000 men, women, and children of Israel. He desecrated the temple and set up idolatrous worship in its place. This is most likely the word and the vision that Daniel saw. The horror and the gravity of this word, this vision, was what led Daniel to fast from delicacies, from meat, from wine for 3 full weeks. Additionally, this vision was given to Daniel in the third year of Cyrus. That's the timing of when this was given to him, the third year of Cyrus. We know that in the first year of the Persian king Cyrus, that the Jews were graciously, providentially allowed to return to their land. I mentioned Babylon earlier. They had initially been taken by Babylon, but then the Persian kingdom overcame Babylon. So they're under Persian rule now. But by year 3, however, the book of Ezra tells us that they face much opposition from the neighboring peoples, causing them to pause their work on the temple. So again, the people had been able, God providentially ordered things that people could go back to the land, but now the remnant is back in the land and they're facing persecution as they try to rebuild. So Daniel receives this vision of the destruction to come from Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. At the same time, the Jews faced much discouragement in trying to rebuild. This would have been, in a sense, a double whammy. You can imagine Daniel. Okay, it's already really hard for my people, and now I get this vision of what is to come. How does he respond? He responds by trusting and praying in a greater way through fasting. When spiritual intensity is turned up, Daniel responds. This is a lesson for us. When the spiritual intensity is turned up, do you seek the Lord in a more desperate way? Of course, we should at all times be seeking the Lord in desperation. but especially when there are desperate times, it is appropriate to respond with desperate measures. Have you had one of those seasons in your life where you felt desperation and a particular need to seek the Lord in a greater way? That's what's happening here. Daniel's action of fasting also shows the care and solidarity that he has with his people, both the exiles that have returned and also into the future. If God's people suffer, we suffer, since we are united in Christ. Again, for God's people, we're united together. My brother is suffering, I am suffering. Do we think about that? That should also have an impact upon our community as a body of Christ, that if our brother or sister is in hardship, we are with them in that, in prayer and in caring for them. But how the Lord responds to Daniel doesn't at all seem gracious or helpfully, at least initially. Although other men are with him, he alone sees a vision of this man. That's what Scripture calls him. But obviously, he is much more than a mere man. For the other men with Daniel, a great trembling fell on them, and they fled to hide themselves. For Daniel, his radiant appearance was fearfully changed. He retained no strength, it says. When he heard the sound of his words, he fell on his face in a deep sleep. He seems half dead, almost. Who is this in Daniel's vision? The text is not completely clear. Some say an angelic being, perhaps a cherub that dwells in the presence of God. Others say that it is the pre-incarnate Christ himself. I'm hesitant to say too dogmatically, but I would lean towards the pre-incarnate Christ himself here. If you compare how this person is described here in Daniel with how Christ is described in Revelation 1, there are many similarities. His eyes being like a flame of fire, his legs and feet burnished bronze, his voice like the roar of many waters or a multitude, his appearance being white or like lightning. Throughout Scripture, those who encounter an angel are fearful, like Mary or the shepherds, but this reaction from Daniel seems somewhat extreme compared to those. So this vision seems to be of the pre-incarnate Christ himself in some form. What we see in this passage is that God gives us what we need for spiritual battle, I said. We might be thinking, really? How is this good or helpful to Daniel? Here he is half dead, it seems, from this vision. To put it simply, a strong storm requires a strong anchor. A strong storm requires a strong anchor. Daniel needed a continued sense of the Lord's incomparable majesty, his unmatched holiness, his unparalleled glory. The Hebrew word for glory literally means weighty. Daniel is left with an unmistakable impression of the Lord's glory, his infinite worth, his transcendence. We all have, are, and are now, and will be burdened by a spiritual battle. Who God is to you, especially in great spiritual battles, is of enormous importance. If you take him lightly, if he's not that worth that much to you, there's little chance that you'll persevere. But if you have a glimpse of his glory, that he is high, exalted, holy, 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 worthy of our praise, of supreme value, well, then you have an immovable anchor for whatever storm may come. Again, then you have an anchor for the storms that come. And they come. They have, and they will in this life. Great storms. We see this in the life of Christ himself, actually. He engaged in a spiritual battle we could not dare to fathom. Satan directly attacked him in the desert. Later in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat drops of blood. He took mountains of unjust accusation. He bore the Father's wrath for our sin. He had anchor. It was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. The all-surpassing worth and glory of God was so great to him, such a weighty anchor, he held fast to that anchor during the greatest temptation. Daniel here may have been half dead physically, but spiritually, he was, you could argue, more alive than he'd ever been. Do you see the Lord in his holiness, his glory? We need to strive to see him as he is, to be ready for spiritual battle. So we've seen that the Lord gives what we need for spiritual battle in this overwhelming sense of his holiness. Next, we see this assurance of his great love. After he's left face down with no strength, a hand touched him. I think here in the text, it has switched here to an angelic being. And it says, it set him up and said to him, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. That phrase, now I have been sent to you, I think it hints at a different being than the first being when he had the vision. But Daniel has an assurance he is greatly loved by God through how he is addressed here and again in verse 18. Again, greatly loved. Again, repetition, as we study the Bible, it's important to note. It's there for a reason. He's referred to as greatly loved twice here. Think about that for a minute. Daniel was a man of God, but he was a sinner. He was finite, but he was greatly loved. He isn't told here that he is loved moderately or loved most of the time or loved when he performs for God. No. Sin, shortcomings, fears, and all. Daniel is simply greatly loved. Especially when we are amidst spiritual battle, the enemy will try to make us doubt God's goodness and his love for us. We see that, of course, in the garden. We see that with Job, for instance. We see it when Jesus was tempted in the desert. Does God really love us? Does he really have what is best for me? But here, amidst this intense spiritual battle, Daniel's told, you are greatly loved. We might not hear an angelic being say to us amidst our spiritual battles, we might not hear one say to us, you are greatly loved. But I would argue that we have an even greater sense, a greater assurance of God's love. We have the cross. We have the cross. God has spoken there loudly and conclusively of his love for us. John 4:10 tells us, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We know that his love is so great, it is beyond measure. We're told that it surpasses knowledge in Ephesians 4. Romans 8 tells us that nothing can ever separate us from his love. The New Testament calls those in Christ beloved. That is you, if you're in Christ, you're beloved of the Lord. You have and you will face spiritual battles, and it is especially during those times of intensity that the enemy wants us to doubt God's love. But you are beloved. You are greatly loved, like Daniel. So receive his lavish love freely. Don't even for a second believe the lies of the enemy. If you are in Christ, you are greatly loved. The cross, he has shown his great love for you. We all have, from time to time, difficulty fully accepting God's love. So I want you to do something a bit uncharacteristic. Turn to the person next to you now and tell them that they are greatly loved by the Lord. Do it now. Go ahead. Do it. Turn to your neighbor. Say, you are greatly loved by the Lord. And I would also encourage you today, if this particular issue to know of God's love for you is a battle for you, share that with a brother or sister in Christ. They say, sometimes I have doubt of God's love. That can be a burden if we carry that, doubting God's love. So share that with somebody. Let your brother or sister have the blessing and the opportunity of you being used by God to reaffirm God's truth to you. We need to hear reminders of the truth from our brothers and sisters in Christ. telling the campers that this week that we need to be exhorted. The theme of the week was running the race with God. We need to be exhorted. We need to be encouraged. We need help in running this race. But you are greatly loved. He gives what we need in spiritual battle by this assurance of his great love that we see with Daniel. Next, we see that he gives us his strength in spiritual battle. Let's look at verses 16 and 19 again. It says, "Oh my Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." The reality of the spiritual battle that was to ensue, this vision of it, left Daniel, again, no strength, pretty much half dead. But the Lord didn't leave him in that state. No, this angelic being touched Daniel and strengthened him. And the words of this messenger from the Lord spoke strengthened him as well. And Daniel says, as he spoke, I was strengthened. In a sense, this was the ministry, you could say, of the word of God to Daniel. It was mediated by one of God's angelic messengers, but it was the word of God to Daniel. Daniel was strengthened. Unfortunately, at times when we feel weak, we can look to other things and to other places to strengthen us. Oh, if I just had this, or if just this circumstance was different. But they won't do. Other things and circumstances won't do. We can often look to escape from our circumstances rather than to truly be strengthened amidst our circumstances to face the spiritual battle. Again, we see Christ as our example here. When he was tempted in the desert in Matthew 4, how did he respond? How was he strengthened in battle? Each of the three times Satan confronted him with a temptation, he strengthened himself with the word, and he fought back with the word. In 2 Timothy 2, in a passage where Timothy is instructed by Paul to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus, certainly implying spiritual battle, Paul also tells him to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How are you strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Paul also tells Timothy, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me and guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This pattern of sound words, this good deposit was the content of the gospel. Timothy was strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus through the word, this content of the gospel that Jesus has come and lived a perfect life and died on the cross for our sins and rose to life victoriously for us. As Christians, we're a people that are strengthened by the word, by the hope all of it promises to us, that God does save, that Christ lived perfectly, died sacrificially, and rose again victoriously. That is truth. This is our hope. It is our strength. The enemy lies. He's a great deceiver. We fight and are strengthened by the word of truth, by the gospel. I'll say that again. We fight and are strengthened by the word of truth, the gospel. In your spiritual battles, the Lord desires for you to be strengthened. It will not happen apart from his word. He is sovereign over our battles, but there is some responsibility on our behalf to turn to the word, to dwell on it, to be strengthened by it. Are you doing that? Are you doing that even today? After Jesus had fasted 40 days, Satan tempted him to turn a stone into bread. I don't know about you, but I get hungry much sooner than 40 days. Jesus had to be terribly hungry. I'm sure he could have used some physical strengthening. What did he say? He quoted in Matthew 4:14 from Deuteronomy 8:3. Said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." If you are in need of strength amidst your spiritual battle, and we all are, turn to the word of the Lord. Are you? Are you turning to be strengthened by the word in your spiritual battle? Finally, lastly, we see that he gives us all we need by giving his victory. He gives us his victory. Daniel had been fasting and praying for 3 weeks. His prayers did not fall on deaf ears. Our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. Read in verses 12 through 14. The angelic being says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your feet to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come." This is fascinating. This is fascinating that we are given this glimpse into the spiritual realm. I can't think of any passage that more clearly sheds light on what Paul says in Ephesians 6:12. He says there, as was read earlier, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It is not a fantasy. It is a reality. Look at this passage in Daniel. What happened? Daniel's given this glimpse, and he's told about what's happening in the spiritual realms. This angelic being had come because of Daniel's words, because of his prayers, because of his prayers. How much should this give us encouragement to pray? We pray, God acts. There's much we don't understand about prayer, but this is clear from this passage. We pray, God acts. I didn't have it in my notes, but I want to just go back because it stood out when Steve was reading Ephesians. What does it say there? That we are to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, he says, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Of course, we know Satan does not want the kingdom to prosper. He does not want the word of God to go forth and to multiply. So we need to be praying that it would on our behalf and for others, that the word of God would continue to go forth. We pray, God acts. This prince of the kingdom of Persia is a fallen angel or a demon who resists the purposes of God. We have to remember what is at stake with the Jewish people. What is at stake with them is God's promise to redeem the world, that one of Abraham's offspring would be a blessing to all nations, that he would redeem all those who are united to him by faith. If the Jewish people were eliminated, all the promises of the Messiah would be brought to nothing, and there would be no redemption for the world. I think this vision that Daniel has here is so terrifying, not only because he cares about his people, the Jews, but also because he knows of God's promises to send the Messiah through the Jewish people. There are lots of smaller spiritual battles, but really there's only one battle: the kingdom of God against Satan and his forces that manifests as various beasts, various schemes Satan has. But really, there's only one battle: God, who's on the throne, against Satan. It's hard to know exactly how this angel coming to encourage and strengthen Daniel plays into the promise of the Messiah being preserved, but we can be sure that it does play into it. Perhaps if this angel hadn't come, Daniel's ministry would not have been preserved and been fruitful. Perhaps it would have affected the Jews' ability to persevere in affliction. We don't know for sure, but we do know that the Lord gives Daniel victory in the spiritual battle. And ultimately, that victory rests in the sovereign power of God and is realized through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. There was a specific point in redemptive history when Jesus rose from the dead and the victory of God became realized. And we know that there are further aspects of it to be realized in the future when Jesus returns. But I think we can say that Daniel and other Old Testament saints who were united to Christ by faith, they knew and received benefit from this victory, although it was to come. They died in faith, and their faith united them to Christ's victory. Just as it was for Daniel, so it is for us in our spiritual battles. He gives us victory, the victory of Christ. 1 John 5:4-5 tell us, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our faith unites us to Christ, and He is victor. So we've seen in this passage that in spiritual battles, the Lord gives us what we need. He gives us much more than a Swiss Army knife, much more than a multi-tool. He gives us all that we need for this spiritual battle, for this adventure that we are in. He gives us an overwhelming sense of His holiness. He gives us an assurance of His love. He gives us His strength, especially through His word. And then He gives us victory through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we've seen here that this cosmic spiritual battle is not only cosmic, it is not only global, it is personal. It's personal. Daniel was engaged on a very personal level. We are too engaged on a personal level. We are in spiritual battle. Let us see from this passage that we have what we need. These things that Daniel received in battle were mediated to him in an incredible way, but they are given to us in an arguably a greater way on this side of the cross. We have the fullness of written revelation. The Old Testament promises, many of them have become realized now in Christ, and we await their full consummation at His return. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and access to God that not even Daniel had. So, brothers and sisters, as Daniel was told, be of good courage. Be of good courage. We are in a spiritual battle, but the outcome is secure. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. There will be beasts that rise and contend against God and His kingdom, but God will not be defeated, and His kingdom will never end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the victory that we have in Christ. And yet, until He returns and all enemies are put under His feet, made His footstool, we are in a spiritual battle. Help us to know His victory. Help us to cling to what Christ has done. Help us to be engaged in the work of the Lord and His kingdom. Sometimes we can struggle with apathy in various ways, and that's fine for Satan. He can just leave us in apathy. He's already doing what he needs to do in that if we're in apathetic. Lord, help us to be passionate about the Lord and about His word and about souls being redeemed in Christ. If we are, we know that we will face spiritual battle. But yet we know we have what we need. We know that we have Your love. You've displayed it on the cross. We know that we have Your strength as we cling to Your promises in Your word. And Lord, help us to have a vision and understanding of your holiness, of your glory, that gives us a weight, an anchor when the strong storms come. Father, we thank you that we have what we need. Help us to be assured of that today and to go forth doing battle for your glory, for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.